Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
College football playoff semifinal tonight. Notre Dame, Penn State. Maggie and Perloff show, so glad to have you. My question for tonight, Perloff, do you believe that the winner of tonight's game can win the title?
Nope. Let me rephrase that. Does anybody think the winner of tonight's game is going to win the title?
You know, essentially, I think I know where your head's at, and not to fast forward past tonight's game, but I'm getting a sense from the greater public, and maybe it's just listening and sitting next to you, that whoever wins this game tonight is kind of just going to be fodder for Ohio State. I know you're very high on this Ohio State team.
Yeah. We had Josh Pate, who's great, a college football analyst, on yesterday, who agreed, like, Ohio State looks like they figured it out. They're a juggernaut right now. They're clearly the most talented team. If you judge talent by future NFL talent, I mean, all these teams have a ton of guys, but Ohio State particularly has stars. So it looks like on paper, Ohio State is the best team. And I just don't think, like, Notre Dame, Penn State, and Texas are good teams, but you need a great team to take out the way Ohio State is playing right now, and I don't see them as, like, all-time great teams.
Okay, two counterpoints there. One, because it's just one game, I don't think Michigan was an all-time great team. They played great on one day, and Ohio State played terribly on one day. Yeah. I don't think that Oregon is a bad team, and they got smoked by Ohio State in this playoff. I don't think it's not, to me, you know, it's not about are you the better team on paper, or who are you sending to the NFL, or else Ohio State, you could argue, should win every single year. I think it's more about, can you just play better on that day? And you have to play maybe your perfect game. And have we seen a perfect game from Texas yet? Notre Dame or Penn State? Probably not. Notre Dame maybe came as close. That win against Georgia was not a perfect game by any stretch, but it was perfect for that game. The game plan was awesome. Marcus Freeman outcoached Kirby Smart, all that. But you just need to have a great game. You don't need to necessarily be the better team. And then my second point about just handing this thing to Ohio State, who is the odds-on favorite right now to win the title, can they play three great games in a row? If you look back over the entire season of Ohio State, there were question marks up and down this team. They should have been more dominant. They should have been better. They should have done this. They should have done that. It was never, like, perfect. Then they get to Tennessee. They smoke Tennessee, right? Then they get to Oregon, jump all over Oregon. They win that game, the Rose Bowl, running away.
Right.
But are you confident they can actually put together three or four of those, but almost were, like, not perfect games, but pretty close to it?
Yes.
Can they put those together?
Yes.
But then why didn't they earlier this week?
Because they decided not to throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith against Michigan. And then the entire world said, are you insane? What are you doing? And then they turned a switch, and they're like, we're going to get that guy involved. And now they are unstoppable.
Okay, but the caliber of defense is also going up. You know, we saw against Michigan. Michigan has a great defense. Whether you're playing Penn State or Notre Dame, these are two awesome defenses. And by the way, Texas is capable of playing really great defense as well.
I mean, Tennessee's got a pro defensive line.
Right, but, you know, you would say, well, that was in Ohio State. That was a home game for Ohio State.
But I don't know if the caliber of defense is, I don't think
Notre Dame's defense is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, but they're right there. Tennessee's is not far behind that. I don't think that's a huge step up.
But this is a neutral field.
Yeah.
Very, very different than that game.
I mean, Texas has got some studs on defense,
and Texas has a great defense.
But I do disagree with one thing you said, that you don't think, like, NFL caliber matters. You look at the champions, and it's all, like, those two Georgia teams, they were putting out full NFL teams. Like, not just, like, an NFL guy here or there. Like, the entire roster, three deep, was all NFL players. I'm looking at the championships. 2020 Alabama, they're all playing in the NFL. They're all stars in the NFL. 2019 LSU was particularly NFL
heavy.
Well,
that was, yeah.
That was crazy. It was Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and Justin Jefferson. Now, last year's Michigan team, I mean, how many top 10 picks were on there? tons. Like, they basically, two defensive players are going top 10 this year. J.J. McCarthy was the number 10 pick. They had pros. They were ridiculously NFL heavy. Talent does matter.
Okay, but if it was just about the NFL talent, then they would never lose a game.
Georgia team barely ever lost a game.
No, but you're talking about Ohio State. So I watched Michigan beat Ohio State in Columbus.
I know, and that was just a horrible, horrible, that never should have happened. It was a terrible coaching job, and they learned from it, to their credit.
And I saw them lose to Oregon.
That was a great game. And that was and Oregon's also got a lot of pro talent.
Okay, so but I'm just saying, and so does Texas. And you have guys who are going to be going pro on this Penn State defense. Abdul Carter could be a top five pick.
Right, but they don't Texas, yes, they do have a lot of pros. But look at their sort of weapons. Their combination of running back and receivers is not unbeatable right now. I think that Ohio State's up a caliber of pro talent. I think Texas is close, but they're not quite the same.
Yeah, I guess... play your best game, and Ohio State, do you think they can play this well multiple games in a row? Like, can they be playing at this highest caliber 3 and 4 games in a row, which is going to take to win this whole thing, against competition that's getting much better than playing Nebraska, who they almost lost to, by the way, or playing Indiana, or whoever else was on Michigan's schedule, or excuse me, on Ohio State's schedule?
Yeah, well, obviously, they've already beaten two better teams. I think that, yeah, I do think they can. And, like, by that argument, then TCU would have stood a shot against Georgia, and they did not.
Yeah, but they beat Michigan, and Michigan sent guys to the pros that year.
Yeah, but I just say, okay, you should definitely bet on the other teams, because I really feel good about Ohio State right now.
Yeah, I'm getting the sense from not just you, but everybody, that tonight's game basically wins the right to... mollywopped by Ohio State. And yeah. I'm holding space for that not to happen.
It's so funny. I think Notre Dame has a better chance against Ohio State, because Notre Dame's unorthodox, right? Like, they're not going to try and, they're going to try and control the ball against, Penn State will too, but I think Notre Dame has a good formula for combating. They're like Michigan.
And to be honest, we've seen James Franklin against Ohio State. If it's Penn State, Ohio State, he's lost to them every time. Or was he 1-for-10?
Right, that's why I think adds to this consolation prize field, the Penn State issue. Notre Dame could be interesting, right? Because Notre Dame is going to zag when everyone else is zigging, or zig when everyone else is zagging. Like, they're going to try and run the ball every single time against Ohio State to make up for the talent differential. I don't know if that'll work. I still like Ohio State.
855-212-4227. We are going to make some picks for these college football playoff games today, because obviously we want to do the college side of our Maggie and Perloff weekly picks before the game gets underway. That would only make a lot of sense. We also have a poll question up for you, Maggie and Pearl. Who does this game mean more to? Is it Penn State or is it Notre Dame? Perloff thinks it's Penn State. I think it's Notre Dame. Notre Dame, they need to prove that they are actually can be a champion or be a contender, not just in name only. They do. And they get all the benefits of the doubt because they have this big fan base and they're a media darling, their own TV network, all that stuff with NBC. And when we see them in the biggest games, it's been disappointing. So for them to get back to the national championship game and not get smoked in the national championship game, by the way, I think is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's one game. The elite Notre Dame, it's been a long, long time. Remember that? You guys were probably too young. Rocket Ismail game. That was when Notre Dame was on top of the world. Like, it'd be cool. If they win the title this year, I think they'll be back to that Notre Dame. That Notre Dame team, you guys have never really experienced like that was. Like, when they were a national contender year in and year out, oh my God, they were nationally just such a big deal. I think they have a little ways to get back there. If they don't, not only do they have to get to the title game, they probably have to win it to be like, then they'll immediately be the face of the sport. Don't you agree with that?
Well, again, I think beating either Ohio State or Texas would do that. I don't know about Penn State, but if you beat Ohio State, this team?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Notre Dame, unfortunately, this game against Penn State is not going to do it. They need to win the next one. Penn State, on the other hand, I think they just need to get to the title game. That's why I think it means a little more to James Franklin. But the other thing, too, Marcus Freeman, he's a rocket ship. If they're going to be right back next year, Penn State feels like everything kind of laid out well this year.
855-212-4227. If you want to talk about tonight's game, we've got that for you. The other big news going on is this weird story, in a way weird, that now all of a sudden teams are dying to interview Bill Belichick. Now listen, I get Tom Brady as a minority owner of the Raiders. It would almost be insulting if he didn't reach out to Bill. Look at what they did together for 20 years. I know that it didn't end awesome, but whatever does. They still have a lot of respect for each other, and Brady is now influential in the decision-making with the Raiders, obviously, and he gave Belichick a call. My shock is the other teams. NFL's media is reporting multiple teams now want to interview Belichick. Like, guys, he was on the open market a month ago. He literally took the UNC job on December 11th. We're not even a month into this thing. And now all of a sudden NFL teams are circling back? It doesn't make sense.
Well, I thought, by the way, which teams are they? Is it the Bears we're talking about? Like
multiple teams.
Because the Jags, wasn't there a report that the Jags didn't want Belichick? Wasn't that part of the story when he took North Carolina?
I think people just assume that because Doug Peterson's been on the hot seat since the beginning of the season. But I don't know if anyone ever said no thank you.
I seem to remember that was part of the reporting that the Jags and the Belichick couldn't get on the same page. So that's part of the reason he took North Carolina.
Well, listen, the Jags just kept their general manager. So maybe that was not.
Yeah, that's probably. And that's the pattern. Like some employee on the team doesn't want to lose his job when Bill Belichick comes in. And that's why he's not getting a job.
It's just weird. Like you're telling me, say you are the Bears. Matt Eberflus comes into the season and you really had to wait until that game on Thanksgiving? Like you had no idea, you had no inkling that he was anywhere near the hot seat or that there's any shot you might have been making a change. You really had to see him botch that game against the Lions? That was it? I get that being the final straw, but that wasn't the first and only straw.
Well, yeah, but I'm not sure what they fired him a long time ago. They could have talked to Belichick. They probably did, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could have been talking to Belichick this whole time. You're not tampering.
Yeah, that's why I don't think there's a real offer on the table for him.
By the way, on the Jaguars thing, remember Michael Lombardi took a shot at the Jaguars, essentially saying that, you know, he kind of alludes to the fact that they didn't want to give full control to Bill Belichick.
And
that maybe that's why he's at Carolina now. So that was kind of the thing we thought as to why the Jaguars weren't interested.
Yeah, I mean, the loyalty to Trent Baalke has got to be just maddening if you are a Jags fan.
Yeah.
Like, why? What has the guy won? What has he done?
It's bizarre. I've never seen all NFL writers in universal agreement on a topic more than the Jags are screwing up by bringing this guy back because it limits who they can interview. Like, Ben Johnson's not going to want to go there if he can't have a say in the GM.
So, well, Trent Baalke, I know he was with the 49ers, and they had good teams. I feel like Jim Harbaugh gets a lot of credit for the rise there, and Baalke gets a lot of blame for the fall.
Definitely. It's a funny thing about this coaching carousel. There's six openings. There are a lot of guys that got, hey, we're going to bring this guy back. Adam Schefter pointed out, like, next year's going to be a bloodbath. The one thing you know in offseason.
For coaches or GMs?
For coaches. He said, if an owner comes out and says, we're going to stick with this guy, that means that guy is going to be fired in a year. Like all these situations where the guy survived, they're not surviving for long.
Do you want to know how that ends up screwing your team, too, when owners do this?
How?
Because coaches and GMs get desperate and they realize that they're on the hot seat. So what do they do? Spend money, bad contracts, Band-Aids.
They don't tank.
Yeah, don't tank. Don't do the thing that actually is good for the long term of the organization. They try to save their job in the short term. And then so what do? If that doesn't work, you just saddle the next guy with these terrible contracts. And the fans are the ones who pay the price.
And the Raiders, for example, won a meaningless game at the end of the year and totally screwed themselves from getting a quarterback. And the Giants. But the Giants brought back their coach. But it does. I kind of
agree. But they're on the hot seat. Those two guys are the coach and GM for the Giants are both on the hot seat.
Right. And it just feels like the way the NFL works, it's likely that they have one more year. And it's not like I don't expect the Giants to make the playoffs. So that means they could be fired.
Or just watch what the Giants end up doing with quarterback. This is going to be pretty interesting, right? Because you have a GM and a coach on the hot seat going into the season on the hot seat, and you need a quarterback. and you're not drafting, maybe you might not be drafting high enough to get
one.
Yeah,
the two quarterbacks go.
If the two quarterbacks are gone, the desperation to find a Band-Aid here and the overpay that you could have just to try to save your job. Because you can't tank.
But who are you going to overpay for? Like, there's not even anyone worth overpaying for. Recovering from Achilles, Kirk Cousins?
I mean...
And the other thing, too, is how does that work with Kirk's current contract? I don't know.
I'm just saying these are desperation.
So wait, like, give me a scenario here. Like, what do you mean?
I think there could be a big overpay for...
Oh, I know who you're going
to... Like, I saw Evan Roberts yesterday saying Aaron Rodgers should come there. There's going to be something desperate that's going to happen with the Giants because those guys are trying to save their jobs and they need a quarterback.
Yeah.
And the owner wants one to magically appear out of thin air.
Well, what if they paid $50 million for Sam Darnold? Is that an overpay?
And again, you are saddling the next guy with a quarterback contract. Yeah, like Brian Daboll they came in trying to fix Daniel Jones and then they paid him and then they had to stay with him. So they didn't draft a quarterback. Stupid.
Well, Rodgers would be good because he's 1 year. So you're not saddling anybody with anything. That's what I'm curious. To me, the debate is, do they go old and recovering from injury, Kirk Cousins or Rodgers, or do they try to get a 28-year-old like Darnold who you have to commit to?
Oof. 855-212-4227. This is how bad teams stay bad, everybody. Maggie and Perloff, coming up next, we're going to check in on the Cowboys. Friend of the show, Jory Epstein, covers the team and the league for Yahoo. She does a fantastic job. She had an exclusive interview with Dak Prescott not too long ago. She knows everything that's going on with Mike McCarthy and Jerry. She's going to join us next. All right, Perloff, I already got my prize picks all picked out for tonight. Can I interest you in a little Drew Aller less than 185.5 passing yards.
Okay.
And I want to put that directly with my, come on, where'd you go? NBA for tonight. Why is this not coming up? You know what I'm looking for. This is my vamp. Cavaliers coming off of the big win last night over OKC. Mm-hmm. I think now I'm going to go less than on Donovan Mitchell's point total for tonight because I think playing a back-to-back after last night's game, you get where I'm coming
100%.
From.
100%. Yeah. Can I tell you what happened to me last night? Yeah. I lost, but I had the best time because I had, this is amazing, I had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander over 41.5.
More than, yeah.
Points, rebounds, and assists combined. He had 31 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. I'm watching the last 3 minutes of that game closer than anyone has ever watched a game. It was amazing. And Shai Gilgeous missed 2 jumpers at the end that kind of made me lost. But I can't wait to jump right back in tonight. I loved your mixing football in the NBA. Prize Picks is the best. It accepts major credit cards, quick and easy deposits into your account. You can join Prize Picks. It's available in more than 40 states, including California and Texas. Just download the app today and use the code MNP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones doing a little bit of a dance. Hey, welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, at least seems to be the latest reporting that maybe they're trying to work out a new contract, Perloff, because McCarthy doesn't have a contract now. Contract expired, still in an exclusive negotiating window, though, as far as I can tell. But Jerry did block McCarthy from interviewing with the Chicago Bears.
Sure did.
He sure did. Let's bring in Jory Epstein. She's a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. Knows all things, well, in the NFL. But we know your specialty, Jory, Dallas Cowboys. How you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Maggie, Andrew, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How are y'all doing?
We're doing fantastic. Okay, so where do you think this stands right now between Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, I think when you look at this at first, when I hear, okay, the Cowboys are blocking or denying is, I think, the exact word that was reported. Mike McCarthy from interviewing for the Chicago Bears, I would say, well, if you're denying rather than delaying this interview, you've got to be bringing him back, right? If not, why are you denying it? But I don't know that there necessarily is so much of a difference because, look, the Cowboys built into Mike McCarthy's contract an exclusive rights, exclusive negotiating agreement window. And so until next Wednesday, as you said, Maggie, deal expired yesterday, but they have another week to be the exclusive negotiator. So I view this as, hey, they're trying to work something out, trying to understand. Mike McCarthy has done a very good job, but not a great job. He's done a great job in the regular season, but an average job in the postseason. Can they get over that hump? What would that look like? And what would a deal look like? And then once they decide that, they move forward. But to me, the biggest indicator that Mike McCarthy is coming back is we have not heard of any other candidates tied to the Cowboys. Mm. That could change, but Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, not usually the most under wraps organization.
And buttoned up is not words I would use to describe the Cowboys.
Well, the way you describe it, Jerry, it doesn't sound like it's going to happen, but wouldn't Jerry Jones look like a jerk if he did fire Mike McCarthy after the Bears vacancy was closed?
Everyone's saying that, and I'm not sure I agree, and here's why. If you think about the timeline for coach hirings, other than the New England Patriots, who seem very close to hiring Mike Vrabel by the end of the week, they've fulfilled the Rooney Rule. And I hate to even say it like that because their interviews with guys who are not even in the league anymore don't look like the most honest of fulfilling of the Rooney Rule. But I think other than New England Patriots, like if you're a team that wants to interview someone in the playoffs this weekend, you can't do it yet. The league changed the rules last year to make it so that, hey, you have to actually wait to bring in guys in person, especially if they're in the playoffs. And so I think that it feels very sudden and everything's happening right now. I don't know that it's moving as quickly as we can. Mike McCarthy should be fine if by Wednesday he knows.
Jory Epstein's joining us, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. And we're talking Cowboys. You know, is this the right decision, Jory? You know, you mentioned it. Mike McCarthy's been good in the regular season, average. Some people would say even less than that in the postseason. Are they making the right decision if they do bring him back?
I've gone so back and forth this season. Early in the year when they looked terrible, I was like, you need a Mike Vrabel type in there to just toughen up this organization, counter all of the distractions. Then Mike McCarthy started to really overperform with all of his team injured. And I'm like, okay, what's the likelihood someone's better, especially when you have to go through all of that change? But by the end of the year, where I settled was, Mike McCarthy is a very good coach, but this offense and Dak Prescott specifically need a super creative mind who can take them to the next level, really maximize everything they can do. And I'm actually less concerned about the leadership than I am the scheme, because Dak and co have shown they can lead. And so I think the best option would be to go chase a Ben Johnson type. Do I think that's what Jerry's history tells us he will do? No.
What, and why doesn't Jerry do this? I think I know the answer, but why wouldn't... Does Jerry get comfortable with a certain level of sharing the spotlight? And would a Ben Johnson be too risky that he'd be take away the spotlight?
I actually don't think it's a spotlight thing. I think Jerry probably gets a little bit too much flack for a spotlight. Yes, he talks all the time, and I'm not trying to downplay that. But I don't think it's a spotlight so much as there's an element of comfort, but there's also an element that for better and for worse, Jerry Jones views everyone's best self as their like common baseline threshold. And so he always says, well, I've seen Ezekiel Elliott rush for 2,000 yards before, 1,000 yards before. Why wouldn't he do it again? And it's like, well, humans are dynamic. They evolve. So we're not always at our best. And it's like awesome that Jerry Jones has this belief in people. And like, we all need a hype person like that. But I think when he looks at, oh, well, Mike McCarthy has won a Super Bowl, so of course he'll win one again. That's not actually how reality works.
Man, that kind of makes me want to work for Jerry
a
little
bit. Yeah,
that
sounds great.
It's like, you only like me on my best day? You think that's me all the time? That's definitely not Jerry all the time. I don't know why you would think that of anyone else. Jory Epstein is joining us, covers the NFL for Yahoo, and we're talking a lot about the Dallas Cowboys. Jory, Perloff thinks the Cowboys need to just tear everything down.
Yeah.
I think they're too far into this thing, like in for a penny, in for a pound. Too much money to Dak, CD, it's going to be Micah Parsons. I don't even think they could do that. Is there a team-building aspect of this that we're just overlooking, that the Cowboys are on the wrong track?
Yes, you can't tear everything down because you paid Dak, you paid CD, you're about to pay Micah Parsons. If you want to tear things down, you don't give the most expensive quarterback contract in history $60 million a year, which, by the way, hasn't started yet. He had a year left on his deal last year, so Dak's deal starts this year, which I don't think is a bad decision. I'm a little bit biased in that regard because I spent a lot of time with Dak through the years, but I do think the likelihood you find a replacement, and also I view teams as, where are you in your life cycle? Do you have the talent to contend? If you do, try and get really close above that threshold to increase your likelihood of winning a game that's so much variability. If not, tear it down. See the New England Patriots, the New York Giants. I think what they need to do is just make sure that their offensive line and their run game is much more solid than what it was this year. And I know you can say, well, why, if you have your quarterback, do you need to have the run game? I'm not saying like draft a guy with the 10th overall pick and they don't have that necessarily in the first round. I'm saying if you don't have the protection for Dak, no quarterback is going to succeed without protection. Mm-hmm. We saw that when Mahomes and the Chiefs faced the Bucks a few years ago. If you don't have someone who could run the game, everyone is going to sell out with Dak. So I think shoring up the offensive line will be step one for the Cowboys.
It always feels like there's some nerves about next season. The report that Trayvon Diggs had another thing happen with his knee. Obviously, Demarion Overshawn seemed like a star on the rise. He's out. The schedule gets brutal next year. I was telling Maggie, I don't think anyone's going to be picking Super Bowl for the Cowboys next year. Dak, we haven't seen him healthy. I wonder, what's the level of optimism in Dallas? Because I'm not sure they're getting closer to a Super Bowl just the way reality is.
I don't think there's a level of optimism. I think there's a level of confusion of what is Jerry planning to do and does he have a plan? But I will say, in terms of no one picking the Super Bowl, Andrew, tell me since 2016, when Dak was drafted, that no one was picking the Cowboys for a Super Bowl. People are going to find a way to convince themselves. Jerry is going to find a way to convince you. He maybe shouldn't say this year he's going all in if he's not actually going to make moves in free agency, but someone is going to be picking the Cowboys for the Super Bowl.
Do you think he will be able to do something in free agency this year? Is there any players that could come and help?
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, it's only been 2 years since the Cowboys found Stephon Gilmore and Brandon Cooks in free agency, which were both good pickups. Now, it hadn't been there normally, but they did it 2 years ago, and that's why they felt so confident about their roster last year before they just flamed out against the Packers in the playoffs. So I do think there should be key pieces, and making sure, whether it's through the draft or free agency, that CeeDee Lamb is not the only really threatening receiver on that roster will be key.
Jory Epstein joining us from Yahoo. Just another minute, Jory. Of the six openings now of teams that need head coaches, which one do you think is the best? The most attractive?
It's such a great question. I think this really comes down to, I mean, we keep hearing candidates, ownership, quarterback. To me, I think the Patriots probably have that combination. Now, again, there are elements of the Patriots organization that are super outdated and they need to bring up to date from Bill Belichick because he was covering for so many jobs. But I believe in Drake May. And I think that when I look at Drake May compared to Caleb Williams, first of all, I think Drake has been a little more even keeled. Like, yes, he's had a lot going on around him. And secondly, I just think the general manager president structure in Chicago would make me question what's going on. They do not have an offensive line. I think the Patriots give a coach more to work with.
All right, Jory, I have two important non-specific NFL questions. One, did you see Jerry Jones in Landman? And if so, the show on Paramount, any review? And I looked it up. You went to Texas. How optimistic are you for this weekend for Friday night?
Can I just tell you? So when sometimes videos autoplay on your Twitter feed, like I'll be watching an NFL Network video and something autoplays. So the Jerry video autoplayed, but whatever tweet it was not explaining what it was. And I was so confused. I'm like, is this the Jerry Netflix documentary coming out? What is going on? He's really emotional. So I did not see it in full, but I did catch a glimpse. And hey, as everyone's saying, he did a great job. And Texas made me a little nervous against Arizona State. So I think that we need to have a better performance if we expect to advance past Ohio State. But hey, maybe Ohio State got a little confident.
Jory, how many teams are going to be tanking for Arch? And, you know, I just said this to Perloff in the break, and I said it kind of tongue-in-cheek. I'm like, wow, Mary, Adam Schefter's really pushing the Steve Sarkisian's going to be a candidate for some of these NFL jobs story. He keeps tweeting about it and saying it over and over again. Have you heard any teams looking at Sark?
I haven't necessarily heard a team say, hey, we're interested, but I will tell you is if you want to make the dots really easy to connect, you know where Sark's game is this weekend? At Jerry World, AT&T Stadium. Mm-hmm. Expect Jerry to be in the building. He often goes to those college games because why not scout the guys when they're in your backyard? So do I think that that could be kind of a dark horse that's maybe not even that dark for the Cowboys? Yes. Do I think that that kind of offensive mind could elevate the Cowboys? Yes. But I wouldn't say that they are moving along the track to like necessarily, oh, they're not hiring Sark right after that game. But I think that, hey, Jerry sees something. And again, if he sees Sark at his best, remember, Jerry sees the best and he thinks that's the baseline.
Wow. So if Texas upsets Ohio State, maybe we can start connecting some dots between Sark and the Cowboys. Makes sense to me. Jory Epstein, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. We appreciate it always, Jory. Thank you.
Great to be on with you, Maggie and Andrew.
Appreciate that. There's some dominoes there that I didn't want to bring up with Jory as a Texas alum. If Sark gets the Dallas job, let's say in some alternate universe.
Love it.
Does Arch hit the portal?
Well, I was going to say there's a certain coach who's available. Mac Brown, bring him right back to Texas. I have Andrew Bogus sitting here with updates. Can I give you guys a scenario that will solve all these coaching problems?
We'd love it.
So Bill Belichick wants to go to the NFL, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we think that if they had an opportunity. How about Ben Johnson goes back to his alma mater, North Carolina, where he's a backup to T.J. Yates, takes that Belichick job off his hands. Ben Johnson's happy. Who doesn't want to coach at their college? Then Belichick gets to go to wherever Ben Johnson is going. Everyone's happy.
You don't think Ben Johnson could have had that North Carolina job if he wanted it?
Well, that's a good point. Well, I don't know.
They called Arthur Smith. You don't think they called Ben Johnson?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't remember him actually being talked about. And why was
Neither
it?
Was Bill Belichick, so they turned over all the stones.
But we did know about Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
That is an interesting point. They did it. Why didn't they interview Ben Johnson?
I don't know. Did they interview Julius Peppers? Did they call in every person? I have no
idea. Julius Peppers, a coach? And on the Julius Peppers interviewing with the Bears this week?
Same reason why I didn't ask the prettiest girl to the prom when I was in high school.
Yeah, I know.
No chance in hell.
I know. Oh, that's what I was thinking. I was like, Ben Johnson wouldn't take his alma mater, would he? Probably not.
He'd just have to wait 41 years.
I'm just trying to think. I'm just trying to think of an out for Bill Belichick. Bill could call the dean of North Carolina and say, listen, I have to go. I'm very sorry, but I got you this guy. Or just like, if Bill can find his own replacement at North Carolina, does that help him leave?
How many May brothers are there?
Luke.
Wrong sport.
Or just give it to Josh McDaniels. Say, hey, I have to leave, but you can have McDaniels.
Dude, that's a bait and switch that is just wrong to do. Talk about the dating analogy. That's like bringing a, you know, hey, I got someone for your friend. Yeah.
These are desperate times for Bill Belichick. You know he wants out of this North Carolina thing. Maggie, do you have a better way out?
Well, let me think on it. Bogus has headlines for us. What's up, Bogus?
Guys, who cares if the 8-28 Toronto Raptors were in town? The Knicks didn't lose again last night, so at least one of us is wearing a jacket and snow hat inside because they've got Knick logos on them.
Knicks pulling away here with a 10-0 run. Hart's got a double-double, and Ananobi's got a clear pass. Another big night for Ananobi against the Raptors. He's got 25.
Tyler Murray on MSG TV. Ananobi and Karl Anthony Towns each scored 27 in a 112-98 win that snapped a three-game drought. Tom Thibodeau's job is safe for now.
Over the course of the season, sometimes you're gonna stumble and you got to get back up and you got to refocus. And you know, we went through a rough stretch on the road and lock into the recovery. And do that, and then just find a way to win.
A win that led Angry Manny to tweet, "We are so back.
We are the New York Knicks."
And they beat the Raptors last night.
Dude, we're so back.
So back.
So back.
So back. OG with 27 in front of Emma Roberts. I would show out, too.
Back from what, 1998? What are we doing here?
2024.
You think OG was showing out because the actress Emma Roberts was in the front
Correct,
row?
Correct, yes.
This is a thing for him.
Yeah.
Oh, he likes her?
Yeah. No, he ran into the stands, almost ran into Anne Hathaway, and then he went on an absolute tear.
Ah.
There was a third thing that happened, too. Something with, like, beautiful women being at Knick games, and OG, I knew we were turning into Scottie Pippen.
Well, I think you got the formula. Just basically get the roster of SI swimsuit models in there, and you guys are going to win the title.
The thing is, Dolan's been trying that, and we haven't won anything, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, get him not sitting next to Dolan.
There you go.
There you go.
From your lips to Dolan's ears.
Well, we not know allowed. He's tracking me pretty closely, so I'm sure he's heard about this. Good morning, James.
Nothing to see here. The Cavaliers pushed their win streak to 11 while snapping the Thunder's 15-game run, 129-122 in Cleveland. Jared Allen, Evan Mobley combining for 46 points, 21 rebounds, and 13 assists. Dame and Giannis combined for 51 points as the Bucks cruise past the Spurs, 121-105. Zion sat out the second half of a back-to-back as he returns from that hamstring injury. The Pelicans lose again, 119-100 to the Blazers. And the Pacers top the Bulls, 129-113. Tyrese Halliburton, 16 points and 13 assists.
Yeah, this is bad. I hate to admit it, but we're excited because we're going to New Orleans in a couple weeks for the Super Bowl. And I actually thought to myself, I should check Zion Williams' Instagram, see what restaurants he's eating at.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he looks thin, though, right now. Oof. He's not eating anywhere.
Elbows up.
By the way, they said he was not going to play last night, so it wasn't a surprise.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
He looks amazing. You guys got to get on board with Zion. Someday it's all going to come together.
For who? For him, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, as a he's so much fun to watch. He's
Wait,
just
you realize everyone was on board with him until he just stopped playing basketball, right? Yeah. Like nobody disliked Zion Williamson.
Everybody but you guys don't like, but he's not your favorite player, and that makes no sense.
Because he doesn't
to me.
Play basketball, right? Yeah, what do you enough. Mean? You know,
right? A Sasquatch would be my favorite net if Harry and the Henderson stood up for him.
Oh, come on! If he played 82 games, I still don't think you guys are in the cult of Zion like some people are.
We all were like Zion was the biggest thing in basketball when he was at Duke when he was playing every game.
Yeah. Oh, especially these two Knicks fans. They thought Zion was going to opt out.
I was like, tank for Zion. I was all Zion.
Remember when we were going to get Kyrie, KD, and Zion?
So do you guys like, you know, I watch like anytime the Pelicans are on TV, that's my number one.
That's a
team.
Sad thing, but yes, I know.
Yeah. Like that game, that playoff Antonio game Daniels. Where he went nuts. That was like my most exciting basketball experience in a long time. Like you guys aren't Zion fans. Forget it. I don't even want to talk to you guys.
I mean, so Zion playing games greater than Thunder Cavs finals games.
Oh, man. Oh, look, an 8-foot Darius Garland floater. Feel the excitement.
Yeah, great. Another CJ McCollum threes. He's still on the team, right?
Yes.
Phew. I whiffed on that Vince Carter thing earlier. I was like, I can't have another basketball one.
He was
go wrong.
Joking that they graduated him from unk to grandpa, his teammates, because he's so old.
Literally, like the president of the union.
Yeah.
He's doing paperwork.
The Chicago Bears interviewed offensive coordinators, he said, Mike Kafka and Drew Petzing for their head coaching job. Today, as Pete Carroll, we're told they also want to speak with Cliff Kingsbury and Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell. Mike Vrabel and the Patriots meet today, and Lions OC Ben Johnson starts a string of virtual chats with New England, Jacksonville, and those Bears. Villanova took down ninth-ranked UConn last night 68-66 as the Huskies' first loss since going 0-3 at the Maui Invitational. On the women's side, UConn hammering Xavier 81-27.
Damn!
Without Paige Becker, she could be back next week from Sunday's knee injury. And hockey last night, the original Connor Bedard scoring in Chicago's 3-1 win over the Avalanche. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. We are making college football picks in just moments. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. If you miss our interview with Jori Epstein from Yahoo, she said something interesting, Pearl, that you and I have kind of been like-minded about, but Jori and also EJ were not on board with us, which is the fact that Jerry Jones blocked Mike McCarthy or denied Mike McCarthy the opportunity to interview with the Bears, we thought meant, okay, he's coming back to the Cowboys. But Jori and EJ both didn't see it that way. They see it as this negotiation period. It's exclusive. It's in the contract. And if they don't get anything done, well, Mike McCarthy still has plenty of time in this cycle to interview for jobs.
Yeah, I mean, it is a great point. The time, this is going to take a little bit longer because of the wild card playoff teams. Still, it just, I think the optics of it, of not hiring him and then Chicago getting filled, which is possible. I mean, even though until January 14th, it seems like the Bears have an idea of who they want. I think they probably want Ben Johnson or Vrabel. Like, and if Vrabel takes the New England job, as Jori predicted, that leaves Ben Johnson. And I think if they settle there and McCarthy gets screwed, then it's going to look bad. I still think Jerry kind of looks like a jerk, and I think he will be back.
I do think he will be back also. But again, there's a lot of room here. And if, as I said, it seems like Adam Schefter at least is one guy who's been putting it out there quite a bit that Steve Sarkisian is certainly going to be talked about in NFL circles for a head coaching job this cycle, then maybe Dallas falls in love with Sark. I don't know. Still a lot to be determined. 855-212-4227. The weird thing about McCarthy, though, is he wasn't rumored for any other job. The Bears requested.
Yeah.
But there wasn't even any other, and the Jags might be interested, also the Saints might be interested.
He would have made sense for the Jags, too.
Absolutely.
But I guess going from Peterson to McCarthy is kind of like very similar.
Yeah, but it's a guy, you know, he can work with a GM that's influential. That way, whatever adjective you want to use for Jerry.
Peterson.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that would be too weird of a switch. You know, Jerry was always linked to Lincoln Riley, like these Texas-based coaches. I know where Lincoln Riley's from Tech. Isn't that where he was originally from? So, and they've all, he's been watching Steve Sarkisian up close in Austin. That could make sense. Same with Cliff. I've always wondered if Jerry was interested in Cliff Kingsbury. Jerry is a very relationship-based person. Like, I don't think he's analytical. I think he's more emotional bond. And I don't mean that as an insult. I love that. Jory told us that Jerry sees everyone's best day, and that's why he brought Ezekiel Elliott back.
That at least makes sense. I couldn't figure out what else was going on.
That's why he's paying Dak Prescott $60 million next year.
Loyalty, loyalty. And yeah, seeing everyone as their best self. What a way to look at people. How do you become a billionaire and look at people as only on their best day? I just imagine billionaires have to be cold-blooded, cynical. You know, the ones who really built themselves into their money.
Yeah, you need to strike oil, Maggie.
Well, yeah, literally.
That is key. The Patriots, the Bill Belichick, they always looked at someone on their worst day. You know, they always cut people a year early.
Yeah, what do you think? Which one has worked out better?
Clearly, the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, I don't endorse that necessarily for society, but for football, I think judging someone on their worst day is probably better than their best.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're right.
Let's get to our picks. Okay, so we're just going to make the college picks today because the college football semifinal begins tonight. So, EJ, let's get our records, though, up to this point. How are we doing?
All right, it was kind of a weird week last week. So, Maggie, you went 0-5.
Brutal.
So that dropped your record to just two games above 500 now, 46-44. Perloff, you went 1-2-2. You had two pushes. So your record is now 43-45-2.
You know, the funny thing about it, one of the pushes, it was the total, right? 37?
Yeah.
Went way down, and it ended up going
what
way over.
What game was it?
The Tennessee Texans game?
Yep.
And went way over the actual total, but early in the week, for some reason, it was 37. Anyway, what are you going to do?
I
think it ended up at 35.5.
I lost every which way you can lose last week. It was hilarious. Anyway, let's get to tonight. So for me, Perloff, if we make two college picks and three NFL, we're just going to make the two college picks today.
Yeah.
I am staying as far away from the spread on this game as humanly possible. I have no idea who's going to win tonight. I know what I think, but not to bet. Not the spread to me. The under. This is what I like from Penn State and Notre Dame tonight. Give me the under, 45.5. What's the calling card of both of these teams, bro?
Defense for Notre Dame, I'm not sure. Penn State is their tight end and their defense.
Right. So I think that Notre Dame's going to do an admirable job on Ty Warren, and I'm not sure what Penn State's going to do after that. Probably try to run the ball, but again, that's going to lean more towards a lower scoring game, in my opinion. Give me the under 45.5.
Okay, in that game, if you're watching on YouTube, I switched out of my Penn State sweater, and now I'm wearing a Notre Dame t-shirt. Because ooh. I think this is the day that Notre Dame gets back to the title game. They have so many studs on defense. It's easy to stop Penn State. You put three guys on Ty Warren, and you're good. I really like Notre Dame. What makes me nervous is it's a 1.5-point spread. I have this bizarre...
Notre Dame's favored.
Yeah, I have this bizarre feeling that Notre Dame's going to win 28-27, and I'm going to lose this bet. And I have to deal with insufferable Notre Dame fans. Because I agree, it's going to be a really close game. So I'm going Fighting Irish. What about the other game?
Okay, for the other game, I think I'm the only person in America who's taking Texas in the points, which is why I'm taking Texas in the points.
Pretty good reason.
This is like a betting strategy more than it's actually a thought on the game. I still think Ohio State is clearly playing much better than Texas is. Texas, you could argue, shouldn't even be in this game. If not for a targeting call that should have gone Arizona State's way, we're not even talking about this. I mean, Quinn Ewers had to make the throw of a lifetime just to get here, but maybe that scares a little of the bejesus into Texas. They have to stay aggressive if they get a lead. They know they can't afford to sit on anything, especially against Ohio State. And I got to hope that Quinn Ewers has the game of his life.
Okay. That is really smart. I originally was going to pick Ohio State, but all this action on Ohio State made me nervous. Instead, I'm going to go in the total of this game, which is 53.5. And that is it's a very well set total. I'm going over because life is way too short to bet the under. But I hope you're right because as long as Ohio State doesn't pull Michigan and try and run all day, I think they're going to be able to score. Texas has got this great defensive line, and they're probably going to kill Ohio State's O line. But you just get Jeremiah Smith and Egbuka in space. And off to the races. I think Ohio State jumps out to a lead. Then Texas, we know they can pass when they want to. You never know when they want to. I think that they're going to play from behind and get the total up. I'm going over 53.5.
Okay, there you go. So I'm taking Texas plus the 6 points, and I'm going under on tonight's Notre Dame-Penn State game, 45.5.
Yeah, I'm going Notre Dame laying a point and a half, and I'm taking over 53.5 in Friday night's Texas-Ohio State game. I was going to sing the Notre Dame fight song, but I always get it confused with the Michigan fight song.
I know. You always start and it's Notre Dame, but yeah, then it goes into the Hail to the Victory.
I was about to say, Hail to the Irish. Da, da, da. Wait, how does the Notre Dame start?
Da, da, da. Cheer for old Notre Dame.
Yeah. And bum, 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 bum. I mean, they're kind of similar.
Well, everything that by a marching band kind of sounds similar. There you go. Enjoy the game tonight, guys. Thank you, EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Jory Epstein, who joined us, the Weedos and the Coffee Drinkers. You're just so big of what we, part of what we do.
Give me one thing tonight, Maggie. An early start. Says 7:30. Give me 7. Oh, no, actually, that's Friday night. I don't even know what tonight says. Just don't make it end at midnight.